One of the great riches of our Catholic tradition is the fact that it is a tradition, that there are so many dimensions to our faith that are brought together and compiled in one place. On this day, when we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, we have one of these examples. In the prayer that the priest prays after communion, this is one of the oldest prayers in the liturgy. It dates from the 7th century. And as you will hear later on, but I want to share these words with you now, it brings together the twofold nature of Mary's maternity. And so let me quote a portion of this 7th century prayer. "For we rejoice to proclaim the blessed ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of your Son and Mother of the Church." This is the oldest liturgical expression where the phrase Mother of the Church is used. We have nothing older than this 7th century prayer. Well, now I want us to move forward. We're in a time machine, and now we're in the year 1964. Vatican II, under Paul VI, has just promulgated the document called Lumen Gentium, which means light of the nations. And this document was a way for the church to articulate what it means to be the church in the 20th century, moving into the 21st century. And one of the beautiful things about Lumen Gentium is that it ends with a wonderful reflection on Mary. And in this document, it celebrates Mary as the Mother of God and Mary as the Mother of the Church. Listen to what the Vatican II Fathers say about Mary, the Mother of God. "Mary is endowed with the high office and dignity of being the mother of the Son of God, by which account she is also the beloved daughter of the Father, and she is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because of this gift of sublime grace," listen to this, "she far surpasses all creatures, both in heaven and on earth." The Catholic Church is absolutely clear. Mary is a creature, like you are, like I am. But she surpasses every heavenly creature, every angel. She is greater than them. She surpasses every human creature. She is greater than we are. Why? Well, Thomas Aquinas put it this way. "Mary is the one person next to God the Father who can say to the divine Son, 'You are my Son.'" And then St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived 100 years before Thomas Aquinas. Aquinas died in 1274. St. Bernard died in 1153. Listen to what this 12th century saint has to say about Mary. "Our Lady calls God Almighty, the Lord of the angels, her Son. And she asks in all simplicity, 'Son, how could you have treated us so? What angel would dare to say such a thing?' But Mary, fully aware of her motherhood, does not hesitate to call the Lord of heaven and earth her Son. And God is not offended for being called what he wanted to be. He truly is the Son of Mary." This is something that the Roman Catholic Church has understood for hundreds and hundreds of years. Indeed, it goes back to the year 431 at the Council of Ephesus, where Mary was declared Mother of the Son of God. And as a result of that declaration, they had a great party in Ephesus to celebrate this wonderful truth. That was in the year 431. Here we are now in the year 2019, and we too are continuing to celebrate what Catholic Christians have understood for centuries, that Mary is superlative among all creatures because no other person could call herself the Mother of God. But Vatican II doesn't leave it there. It goes on to express how she, Mary, is also our mother. She is the mother of the church. "At the same time," says Lumen Gentium, Because she belongs to the offspring of Adam, she is one with all those who are to be saved. She is the mother of the members of the church. Having cooperated by charity, that the faithful might be born in the church, who are members of that head. Wherefore, she is hailed as a preeminent and singular member of the church, and as a type and excellent exemplar in faith and charity. Okay, reading Vatican documents and official church texts, they are dense. And you probably couldn't take that all in on that first hearing, which is just fine. But here's what I want you to take from it. Mary shares in the charity that is God, for God is love. And just as God, who so loved the world, sent his Son into the world so that we would be saved by him, Mary shares in that charity to say, I will make my womb available so that Jesus can be born from me, so that in turn, all of those children who are members of the church, in a sense, are born from me as well. Not in the way that Jesus is born in my womb, but just as Jesus comes forth from Mary, the church understands that Mary is a co-redeemer. She cooperates with Jesus so that you and I can be saved. So on this day, you want to give thanks to Jesus because he has and is and will forever save you. But Jesus could not save us without Mary. And so because of the gift of our mother, who is indeed the mother of the church, and she is the mother of God, in that paragraph I've just been quoting from Lumen Gentium, they conclude with these words. The Catholic Church, taught by the Holy Spirit, honors Mary with filial affection and piety as a most beloved mother. So that's why you are here today. You are here today because you are honoring Mary. This is one of 2 days in the Canadian Church that are called a day of holy obligation. And it's important that this is such a day. Because Mary, as the mother of the Son of God, Mary, as the mother of the church, desires and deserves our respect. It's so beautiful, I think, that on this day, the church quotes the one passage in all of St. Paul where he refers to Mary. There is no other text in Paul where Mary is mentioned. But in today's passage from Galatians, what does he say? When the time had fully come, God sent his Son born of a woman. If Vatican II documents are difficult, of all of Paul's letters, Galatians is perhaps one of the most complex of all. It's still a letter, when I read it, I sometimes say, Paul, I am not sure what you are talking about. And today's passage has that dimension to it. But let me try to put it to you simply, if I can. What St. Paul is wanting us to understand is the following. That because of Jesus, who was born of Mary, you and I are to become adult Christians. We are no longer to be immature in the faith. And he draws a comparison between those who are under the law. That is, those who live under the old dispensation, what we call the Old Testament. And it's kind of like, I love the movie Mary Poppins, and I realize I haven't watched it this Christmas season. I think I will, because it's such a good film. But for the Old Testament people, they are kind of like Michael and Jane Banks, you know, the little kids in Mary Poppins, they're under a nanny, the nanny being Mary Poppins. The law is like the nanny. But when Jesus comes, Mary Poppins is sent packing. She is no longer needed because the law no longer needs to be that custodian. But here's the beautiful thing that St. Paul would have us discover. That those who are in Christ, even though we're now adults, we know we need a mother. And that is the cool thing about Catholic Christianity. The more mature you are as a Catholic Christian, the more you know you need a mother. The more you are growing in your faith as a Catholic Christian, You're able to say amen to St. Paul when he writes, because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave. You're no longer under Mary Poppins. But you are now a child. And if a child, then an heir also of God. As you know, I haven't been a Catholic very long. So until I was 51, I was kind of like, well, kind of like a guy who left home and said, whew, it's good to be free of mom, you know? I've got my own apartment, I'm doing my own thing. But then I realized in my 50s, I need a mother. And Mary has become that mother. And here's the amazing thing, that as we deepen in our relationship with Our Lady, she never points to herself. She always points us to Jesus, so that we can be a people who know that we are heirs through God. And that's why, coupled with this passage from Galatians, the church on this day begins the new year with an Old Testament lesson that is a blessing. Isn't that cool? That the very first scripture we hear at the beginning of the year is a blessing, because you and I all need to be blessed. And listen to this particular blessing. It's the prayer of Aaron, Moses' brother, the high priest. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Face and countenance are synonyms. Countenance is another word for face. So how does God's face shine on us? Only in Jesus. How is it possible for the countenance of Jesus to be displayed? Because Mary made herself available. You see, those who know what it is to be an adult Christian know this blessing. Those who are growing up in Christ are men and women and even teenagers and preteens who understand our life has meaning and purpose. I love the fact that in Luke's gospel, it's said of Mary when she's going to the home of Elizabeth that she went with haste. And after the angel appears to the shepherds, St. Luke also tells us the shepherds went with haste. They're not just meandering, oh, I guess we'll go. No! There's an enthusiasm, there's a passion, there's a purpose to their lives. Why? Because their hearts are on fire. Their hearts are on fire because they know the truth of the incarnation. And they go with haste because they know that Mary takes them to Jesus so that they in turn can worship him. We are called to live purposefully. No one lived a more purposeful life than the mother of our Savior. And one of the reasons Mary did that was because of something else. St. Luke tells us twice in his gospel that Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. We're told that she did that when Jesus was 8 days old. And if you were here on Sunday, you'll remember that when he was 12 years old, and he says, did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? And she said, I don't know what my boy's talking about. But then Luke goes on to say, she pondered and treasured these things in her heart twice. This is said of Mary. Now the word treasure means that she's investing something in the bank, that this is worth keeping. But then when it says she pondered, this word ponder means she's piecing together. She's making sense of. She's wanting to understand. It gives us the connotation of Mary tossing these things around, pondering them, ruminating on them, turning them over and over again, piecing together the various parts of the mystery that is being revealed to her. If I could ask you to consider one thing for the new year, grow in living a life of wonder. Deepen your sense that this life that you have been given is an amazing gift. That you are here is so profoundly improbable if you think about it statistically. But you are here. And you are here because of Mary. You are here because of Jesus. And so we are invited to treasure and ponder as Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, does. And with this I conclude. That's why it is great to be a Roman Catholic. Because Roman Catholicism is so rich. It is so deep. It's music, it's art, it's theology, it's poetry, it's literature. Allows us the place and the time during this life to celebrate the twofold nature of Mary's maternity. And the more we piece together the meaning of her maternal care, the more fully we will affirm the prayer, that prayer written in the 7th century, where we rejoice to proclaim the blessed ever Virgin Mary, Mother of your Son and Mother of the Church. Mary, Mother of God, Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us.